ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय यत्र गुरु न प्रोक्तम् शुश्रुवेनुपपातचः न साधु मनसा मेने स्वपरा सद्ग्रहाश्रयम् Translation. Prahlad certainly heard and recited the topics of politics and economics taught by the teachers. But he understood that political philosophy involves considering someone a friend and someone else an enemy, and thus he did not like it. Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Politics involves accepting one group of men as enemies and another group as friends. Everything in politics is based on this philosophy. And the entire world, especially at the present, is engrossed in it. The public is concerned with friendly countries and friendly groups, or enemy countries and enemy groups. But as stated in Bhagavad Gita, a learned person does not make distinctions between enemies and friends. Devotees especially do not create friends and enemies. A devotee sees that every living being is part and parcel of Krishna. Mamai vamso jivalputa. Therefore, a devotee treats friends and enemies equally by trying to educate them both in Krishna consciousness. Of course, atheistic men do not follow the instructions of pure devotees, but instead consider a devotee their enemy. A devotee, however, never creates a situation of friendship and enmity. Although Prahlad Maharaj was obliged to hear the instructions of Shanda and Amarka, he did not like the philosophy of friends and enemies, which forms the basis of politics. He was not interested in this philosophy. Prahlad certainly heard and recited the topics of politics and economics taught by the teachers. But he understood that political philosophy involves considering someone a friend and someone else an enemy, and thus he did not like it. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, entitled Prahlad, the Saintly Son of Hiranyakashipu, text number 3. As an innocent child of hardly 5 years in age, Prahlad was sent to a school which was especially designed to raise children in a way that will fulfill the desire of the state, which was ruled over by Hiranyakashipu. Traditionally, in any pious culture, the prominent purpose of school is to develop good character in a child. Of course, in spiritual schools, that is ever more important. Srila Prabhupada had said that philosophy without good character has little or no value. In fact, education, which is a great strength, can have disastrous effects if the people who are armed with the strength of that education have not been trained in good character. The most serious problems of the world today are being created by those who have tremendous power. Power of wealth, power of knowledge. But if they are arrogant, exploitative, greedy, they create havoc. So Prahlad Maharaj was independent thinking. But not exactly. What does it mean to be independently thoughtful? Shanda and Amarka, they were hired for the purpose of indoctrinating those students to be puppets in the hands of Hiranyakashipu. Not just ordinary puppets, but powerful puppets who could conquer the world with him. And all the other classmates, naturally, they didn't know anything better except to accept what their parents and teachers tell them. What your parents and teachers tell you when you're 5 years old must be correct. They are your leaders. They are your protectors. Look up to them. What leaders do, the common people follow. But Prahlad was independent thinking. He didn't like what they were teaching. He was independent of the demonic way of thinking. But he was completely dependent on what he had heard from his spiritual master, Narada Muni. So yes, we want to be independent from the indoctrination of Maya and illusion. But at the same time, we want to be very much dependent on the Word of God. Because Prahlad had such faith due to his association with the Great Soul, he could think clearly even in such an apparently impossible situation. Extremely oppressive. He was taught by his guru that we are eternal souls. We are all part and parcel of Krishna. Therefore, everyone is inherently good. Everyone is a brother and sister. And beyond the superficial coverings of the body, mind, intelligence, and false ego, which are just a temporary veneer, there is the effulgent, all-loving part of God. A devotee focuses on that and wants to serve that soul. Wants to serve that soul, whether they're so-called friends or enemies. Vidyavanaya sambhane brahmani kavihastini suni chaiva supake cha pandita samadarshana. The devotee sees everyone with equal vision, whether they're Brahman, cow, elephant, dog, or chandala. He sees the presence of Krishna everywhere. Therefore, such a devotee does not become overly affectionate towards someone who gives material favors. Nor does it become hateful toward those who try to destroy us. This is the attribute of a Vaishnava. It is not a detail. It is prominent. It is universal. Srila Prabhupada explains that in the Bible it teaches basic religious principles. Doesn't speak so much the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam about the leelas of the Lord in the spiritual world. It teaches basic principles. Bhagavad Gita teaches basic principles very deeply, very philosophically. Krishna teaches in the Gita to Arjuna, a devotee does not make anyone his friend or enemy on this material platform. A devotee is a friend, a real friend, on the spiritual platform to everyone. In the Bible, Lord Jesus spoke this universal principle. He said, "It is said that one should love your neighbor and hate one's enemy. But hear me carefully. I say unto you, you must love your enemies. You should bless those who curse you. You should do good to those who hate you. You should pray for those who mistreat you, who despise you, or who persecute you. For are they not all the children of your Father who is in heaven? Does your Father not make the sun rise for the evil as well as the good? Does the Lord not send rain for the just and the unjust?" And then he gave an order. "In this sense, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." It is a basic religious principle. And he not only spoke it, he exemplified it. Even those who were crucifying him, torturing him, blaspheming him, from his heart. He's praying, Father, please forgive them. They know not what they do. Yesterday in the reading, we heard how Srila Prabhupada, he said that the Saint Francis, who was also speaking the same principle of forgiveness, said he, this is first class Vaishnavism, right? And to the extent we see this principle recurring again and again and again in our Gaudiya Vaishnava heritage, Lord Chaitanya, when he offered this prayer, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatharangata. When you want to emphasize something, you repeat it. And in one sloka, the importance of the chanting of the holy name is repeated three times. Only way, only way, only way. Well, this idea of devotees loving their enemies, forgiving their enemies, serving everyone without discrimination, it is repeated hundreds of times, thousands of times in our scriptures. From the Supreme Lord to his devotees, they are all practicing this principle. I'll speak a few examples. You've heard them all. There's Bhrigu Muni. He was asked by this assembly of sages to test to see who is the greatest of the great. So to Lord Brahma, he didn't show respect. Brahma became angry. To Shiva, he insulted. Lord Shiva became angry. To Lord Vishnu, he not only insulted, he not only didn't show respect, he kicked him in the chest with his foot in an angry mood. It wasn't he was going, Vishnu, I'm going to test you, please don't take offense, but he just ran in a really angry mood and just went, kicked him right in the chest. And Lord Vishnu, he said, oh, please sit down, you are my special guest. Let me massage your foot. It must have hurt you because your foot is so soft and my chest is so hard. Massaged his foot. Yes, he is the greatest. And in that story, Prabhupada gives that statement. The greatness of a person has to be estimated by the person's ability to tolerate provoking situations. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ramchandra Puri, that wasn't a small thing. He was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. He was a sannyasi. He was blaspheming Lord Chaitanya publicly. Not just confidentially saying, my Lord, I think you shouldn't eat so much. It may not look good. No, he was tricking the Lord. Eat, 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 eat. Please, please make me feel good. Eat more. I will be so indebted to you only if you eat more. Please, please eat more. Ah, you see, you are overeating. Ah, what kind of sannyasi, bogus, hypocrite. Lord Chaitanya said to the devotees, what he's saying is true. I eat too much. Today I'll cut down my eating. He's my friend. He's trying to help me. That was his mood. Srivas Thakur, Gopal Chapala, wanted to ruin him forever. Gopal Chapala hated Srivas. He burned with envy of Pandit Srivas. And his goal was to destroy him, so that the whole society would reject him. And he put all that tantric puja paraphernalia in his front lawn, brought the town together and said, see what he, actually he just, he knew the town would see it all. Srivas saw it. Srivas Thakur called the town together and said, I just want to make sure you know what I do at night when you're all sleeping. And he showed them all the tantric paraphernalia. And when Gopal Chapala got leprosy due to his offense by the wrath of the Lord, Srivas was always praying for him. As soon as he came back, Srivas, he was praying for him. Haridas Thakur, when the people were beating him, trying to kill him, he was praying to Krishna. Whatever piety I have performed, whatever devotional activities, let it all go to forgiving them and giving them bhakti. Such a Vaishnava. Nityananda Prabhu, Jagai Madhai. Narottam Das Thakur, he was repeatedly hated. There were death threats, assassination threats. But he was always trying to help everyone. So many of the people who blasphemed him and hated him later became his disciples, because he was just so kind to them. And there were some people who hated him so much, who burned with so much envy, year after year after year after year. And even seeing so many other people like them, who were forgiven by Narottam Das Thakur, became great devotees, that only made them more envious. They were on public campaigns. And what were the things they were saying about Narottam? They were basically saying, this man is a corrupt egomaniac. Look at him. He's a Shudra, and he's initiating Brahmins. What a false ego this man has. And his false ego is going to permanently pollute and corrupt our whole religion. What kind of precedent is this? Kayastha, Shudra. And he's preaching. He thinks he knows the Vedas. And he's giving diksha to Brahmins who are already initiated in the Brahminical system. They even went to the king. He must be imprisoned. He must be punished. They were just hoping that Narottam would die. They were praying for his miserable death. They hated him. They believed that he was destroying the whole Vedic culture, Brahminical culture. And not only that, but he was destroying their own monopoly over spiritual leadership, which they enjoyed for so many long generations. These men, their hatred, their persecution of Narottam Das Thakur would not end, no matter how many good things they saw him doing, no matter how much he forgave them and tried to be nice to them. They hated him. They blasphemed him. They tried to undermine him in most evil ways, up to the point where he left his body. when Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, Govinda Kaviraj, and these other great devotees, they put Narottam Das Thakur's body on the wood for the funeral pyre, because there was no life in his body. He was gone. He couldn't bear the separation of Lord Chaitanya and Srinivasacharya and Ramchandra Kaviraj. It was just too much for him. So he told them, I'm leaving. It was kirtan, and he left. They were weeping. They were crying. And they put his body on the wood. They were about to light it. And then these Brahmins, who hated him his whole life, they were relentless. They came right to the funeral and started blaspheming him loudly. Just see. Now he's getting his karma. And it was that they were so hateful, so envious. Right at his funeral they were blaspheming him. Same words they were using throughout his career as a preacher. And the devotees, they were just devastated hearing these things. But what could they do? They prayed to Narottam Das Thakur, please deliver these men. Please deliver these men. Because they're trying to make your death the evidence of everything they've been saying all these years. Now we know that for blasphemy of a Vaishnav, there's nothing that Krishna hates more than that. We have seen Gopal Chapala, leprosy, miserable death. He was suffering horribly. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was approached by him on the riverbank, who he was exiled. He said, please save me from this suffering, forgive me. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, because of your blasphemy to Srivas, I curse you to have this same miserable situation for the next 10 million births. That's what the Lord thinks about people who blaspheme great devotees. Gopal Chakravarti, one time he blasphemed Haridas Thakur. He got leprosy too. He's dying miserably. But Haridas was praying for him. So these men, for years and years and years, they were consciously developing strategies to undermine Narottam Das Thakur, to turn the whole society against them. They were hoping he would be punished and killed. That's what was burning in their hearts for years. Now, how is the Lord going to punish those men in due course of time? Justice will come in time according to the laws of God. No one can escape. But Narottam Das Thakur, he was laying there on his funeral pyre, dead. His soul came back into his body. Suddenly his body became effulgent like gold. It was radiating in effulgence. And the devotees were looking. And even these envious, hateful enemies of Narottam, even they had to step back. What's happening? His body just glowed. Big smile came upon his face. And then this beautiful, elegant, golden Brahman thread appeared on his body. It was absolutely supernatural. And then Narottam smiled and sat up and looked over at those people who hate him with so much love in his eyes. He did this. He rose from the dead just for them. Just so they wouldn't have to go to hell for all their offenses. That's love. He loved them. He loved them more than any conditioned soul can possibly love their child, their parents, their lover, or their best friends. Who's willing to forgive to that extent? Who's willing to do that? And ultimately, all those men, those deceitful rascals, they all came to Narottam Das Thakur, fell at his lotus feet, weeping, begging, with repentful hearts for forgiveness. Not only that, they all asked him to initiate them. And Narottam Das Thakur, very humble, are you sure? And he gave them all initiation. Now, in separation of Ramchandra, Kaviraj, Srinivas Acharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and all the devotees, he had just written Jaya Nilo Prema Dana, where he's beating his head against the rocks in separation. He was leaving this world to go back to Goloka Vrindavan, where he's going to take his original pure gopi form as a manjari. He was on his way. He was already there. He came back into the material world because he loved his enemies so much. Prahlad didn't like this idea of friend and enemy. A real friend is beyond this friend and enemy. Friend and enemy, he didn't like being a friend or an enemy to people on this material concept. Because in the material concept, a friend is just the other side of the coin of an enemy. It's the same coin. That's political philosophy. You make friends with those who help you to fulfill your purpose on the material platform. And if that same person becomes an impediment, they become enemy. We have seen in politics, Prabhupada said that's the basic foundation of all politics, friends, enemies. How to conquer your enemies and how to make allies with your friends for the purpose of your political agenda. And if it means superficially making friends with your enemy to conquer a bigger enemy, then we'll do that. What kind of friend is that? You see in politics, parties and individuals are blasting each other and criticizing each other and saying this person is worthless and this person is cheating and this person's a nonsense and this person's just going to ruin the country. But then if somebody else is dangerous to them, to their political careers, then they'll make friends with the person they've been criticizing all those years. Say, together we will stand. And they'll praise each other. Until there's a disagreement, then again they're enemies. Prahlad could not tolerate this. Prahlad loved Krishna. He was not concerned with any agenda, hidden agenda or exposed agenda. His purpose was only to please Krishna. Sometimes devotees, in a very immature neophyte condition, they hate karmis. You've heard this? He's a karmi. Karmi. If Prabhupada thought about that you, when you were a karmi, like that, you would forever be a karmi. We hate the sin, but not the sinner. We have to love the sinner. That is Vaishnava. We hate the disease, but we should love the diseased. What does it mean to love? If somebody's doing all bad things to you, it's very difficult to just love them. That's a very advanced platform. That's Mahabhagavat, Prahlad Maharaj's platform, or Thakur Haridas, or Narottam Das. These are acharyas, they're Mahabhagavats. They're seeing Krishna, they're seeing the soul. They actually have pure love. They're willing to make all sacrifices for people who hate them and who are trying to destroy them. But we may not feel that love. But we can show that love. Because it's the right thing to do. In the advanced stage, the feeling is there. At the beginning stages, whatever little good feeling is there, we should nourish it and act by it. But if it's not there, we should do what's right. I may not feel like following the regulative principles, but I do it as a discipline, as an austerity. I may feel like blaspheming this person like anything because I'm so envious of him or her. But I don't speak. I act positive. Because that's what's right. Actually, from a spiritual perspective, if you cannot love your enemies, you cannot love your friends either. Because love is for Krishna. And where there's love for Krishna, there's love for all souls. We're grateful to those who will reciprocate with us and allow us to reciprocate with them. Yes. Narottam Das Thakur was feeling pain for those who were hating him. Where did he get that from? From our Lord himself, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's in the role of devotee. So many people became devotees in Navadvip. But despite Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur going out and begging, and despite Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bringing Nam Sankirtans into the street, preaching so beautifully to everyone, still, there were those people who were against him. They were threatening to beat him. They were criticizing him. Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, the ultimate sacrifice that nobody could understand, to leave Vishnupriya and Sachi Mata's home. There's never been a more loving wife and never been a more loving mother in the whole history of creation. To leave them? to leave those amazing kirtans and Srivasangam every night? Were your most confidential, loving associates? To leave it all? To leave Navadweep? Which is your own abode of Vrindavan? He did it. To reach out to those persons who were criticizing him, who were rejecting him, who were trying to undermine them. Now they're criticizing me. Now they're taking me to be somebody very ordinary. Now they're trying to undermine. If I take sannyas, then they have to bow down to me. And if they bow down to me, they'll become purified. That's love for your enemies. It's a Vaishnav principle. We may not have love like that. But we should understand the standard that we should be praying for. We should be trying to act on that platform. No, we're not God. But we should try to be godly. No, we are not Mahabhagavats. But we should be trying to follow in the footsteps of the Mahabhagavats. This quote of Lord Jesus that we spoke, be perfect like your Father in heaven. And that's in regard to being kind to those who hate you. He was not speaking to Mahabhagavats. He was giving this order to very, very primitive people of the desert. We must strive for it. The tendency is to think that, oh yes, we read about it in almost every chapter of all those Vaishnav scriptures. But it doesn't apply to me because these are great souls. No, you cannot imitate a great soul, but you must try to follow. You must pray for the qualities that they're exhibiting, because they're exhibiting them in this world specifically to teach you what you should be striving for, what you should be living with, living by, and what we should all be praying for. Prahlad. He's not only speaking it, he's living it. Tutenu kampam susumikshamano bunjana evat mikridam vipagam hridvag vapurvir vidadam namaste jivetasam mukti pade sadayabhak. This is the secret of how we could rationalize it all and make it applied to our life. Srila Prabhupada said, you should not hate the instrument of your own karma. Hare Krishna. A devotee sees that whatever a person or is doing to me, whatever my enemies are doing to me, they're just delivering me the karma that I have. Why should I blame them? I should purify myself in this situation and grow. Now, for great souls, it's not even their karma, but they're thinking it's their karma. Yes? Even if Krishna's sending it, just to show the world how great a Vaishnava is, Krishna's sending it. But the devotee is so humble, he's thinking this is my own karma. Thank you, Prabhu. You are liberating me from my past karma by trying to destroy me. Thank you very much. And And if I just can love you and be your well-wisher and pray for you, I'm going to go back to Godhead. But if you didn't come and if you weren't so cruel to me, I would not have the opportunity to go back to Godhead so rapidly. How wonderful you are, Krishna, sending such a special soul. If you can just say that once, then you inherit the right to go back home, back to Godhead, according to Srimad Bhagavatam. Vipara-shantuta-shashvatatra-tatra-jagat-guru. Queen Kunti has prayed, let calamities come. But this philosophy of letting calamities come is very difficult, because she's not selecting the calamities that she wants. When Krishna knows that calamities are needed for your spiritual progress, he's going to send not the calamities you want, but the calamities you need. And they're definitely not going to be the ones you want. Because if they're the ones you want, they're not really calamities. The more you don't want it, the more it's actually a bona fide calamity. And the more you have the opportunity to become purified in that experience. Nothing is easy. Spiritual life is not just about feeling good. You know, there are teachers who, they try to make you just feel good about yourself. If you're in the mode of ignorance, it's all right. Just feel good about yourself. If you're in the mode of passion, that's all right. Just feel good about yourself. If you're in the mode of goodness, it's all right. Just feel good about yourself. And you may feel good about yourself to some extent. But are you actually going to grow? Human life is meant for tapasya. That's God's opinion. We can have our own opinions. And we could have millions of people agreeing with our opinions. But to transcend material nature, we have to accept God's opinion. And he has spoken, tapo divyam putrika yena sattva. Human life is meant for tapasya. Tapasya means to be humble. To be humble means, I don't really feel good about myself. I want to improve. How are we going to get out of the mess we're in if we think it's just so nice? We can feel good about ourselves if we really know that we have the intent to do the right thing and we know what the right thing is. Even if we haven't made it, even if we're not succeeding, at least we know we're trying. And we know where our shortcomings are. And we don't feel good about our shortcomings. We feel good that we're connected to that grace that can take us beyond that shortcoming. But then we have to strive to reciprocate with that grace. So calamities come in many ways. And a devotee sees that it is all ultimately meant to help me to take shelter of the Lord and sincerely take shelter of his most merciful incarnation, the holy name, Hare Krishna. this is such a prominent principle that the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is based on it. Why was Srimad Bhagavatam spoken? Parikshit Maharaj was cursed by this rascal little Sringi boy. Nonsense. Right? Parikshit Maharaj was really thirsty. He was covered over by the illusory energy, by Krishna's grace, and he somehow or other, you know, put a little dead snake on someone. It's not so bad. It's not like he threw a living cobra at somebody. The snake was dead. In the West, it's very expensive type of fashion to have snake skin. You know, they have snakeskin shoes and snakeskin purses and handbags. And snakeskin. I've even seen some people's snakeskin shirts and pants. Very costly. You can't get it at a regular store. It has to be a very, very high fashion store. So you just put a snake skin on him. And he was cursed to die in 7 days. And he was blasphemed like anything by Sringi. Now Parikshit's the emperor of the world. He could have got his soldiers to get that little Sringi and he could have just tortured him like nobody would ever see before. Right? He had all power. Sringi had no power. Parikshit Maharaj forgave him. Parikshit Maharaj said, "Oh, I deserved it. Look at what I have done. I offended a Brahmin. I deserve worse than this." And in that state, not only did he forgive Sringi, but in the process, he totally took shelter of the Lord. He took shelter of the association of devotees. He took shelter of the process of hearing and chanting. So if we don't have calamities, we won't do that seriously from our heart. If we don't have enemies, we probably won't do that from our heart. So from that perspective, we should love our enemies. To a devotee, no one is an enemy. But Srila Prabhupada explains, when you try to do good for others, people will hate you. When Prabhupada came to America, he said, "If they knew what I was coming to teach, they would have killed me." The same people that would have killed him, he's giving his life to give love of God for them. That is Vaishnava. We find in Prahlad, Hiranyakashipu, he was trying to torture and murder Prahlad in every possible way. And he really gave Prahlad a bad name. Who do you think during those times, during that whole era where Hiranyakashipu was throwing Prahlad in fire and snake pits and underwater and feeding him poison and having his most powerful soldiers stabbing him with daggers and spears? Do you think anyone was associating with Prahlad at that time? Doesn't say it in the Bhagavatam, but we can guess that his friends probably at that time were not playing with him. They didn't want to be associated with him. They didn't want anyone to see that, "Oh, I'm with Prabhupada." No. He was alone. He was absolutely alone, deserted by everyone. still. When he went back to school, he gave all those children Krishna consciousness. And in the end, his only prayer to Lord Narasingadev was, liberate my father, Hiranyakashipu, and let me stay in this material world so I can help you to liberate everyone else that's like my father, Hiranyakashipu. Cannot imitate. But that should be the standard that we understand is Krishna consciousness. And when similar little opportunities come our way, we should understand through Prahlad's example and so many others what we should be praying for and how we should respond and how we should try to develop this consciousness by chanting the holy names. Any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Seems to be a very silly question, but it came to my mind that Vasudev Dat prayed to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that let me go to hell and let all these people who are so sinful go back to Godhead. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased that he is allowing everybody else to go and he is willing to go to hell. Similarly, now you said about Prahlad Maharaj when Narasingadev asked him, what do you want? I can give you anything. Then Prahlad Maharaj asked for his father's liberation and he says, my lord, as long as there's even one person left who is envious of you and who is not having any devotion in his heart, let me remain on this earth and liberate all these people. So my question is, Maharaj, then why are we still here?
Why are we still here?
Yes. If all the people were liberated and they were sent back, then why are we still here, still envious and still away from the Lord?
Lord Chaitanya explained himself that Krishna emptied the universe and then it filled back up again with us. That answer your question? Why we're still here is because we haven't yet taken Prahlad Maharaj's mercy and Prabhupada's mercy in our heart of hearts. And until we do that, we'll remain. Prahlad Maharaj's messengers, Krishna's messengers, come to this world for that purpose. And if we can just help those messengers to give this opportunity to the conditioned souls, that is the greatest act of compassion that pleases the Lord. Showing compassion to others is the most pleasing thing we can do for the Lord in this world, because it's such a high expression of love for the Lord. And we see how the Lord loved Vasudev Dat, Nityananda, and Haridas, and Narottam Das, and Prahlad, and loved them so dearly, conquered by them, because of their compassion to others in this world. So If we accept that, live by those principles and help the great souls in their mission, then we can express the highest degree of love for the Lord also. And even if everyone in this universe is liberated, then it'll fill up with other people. Yes? You can take all the ants out of your little box of sugar. Yes? But if you leave it open, will more come? They're different. For those who have karma to come, they will keep coming. But the great souls, they're willing on behalf of the Lord because they know how much the Lord loves everyone. That's why they're willing to come back again and again and again. Because they know the Lord loves these people. They may hate me. They may try to kill me. They may torture me. But the Lord ultimately loves them. So let me try to help them. Does that answer your question?
Thank you.
And we see in these great souls, we have a hard time not hating people who like us. That's a conditioned soul. Yes? Devotees who like us. But they do something different than what we would do. We become their enemy. Or they do something better than what we can do. So we're envious and we become their enemy. Whether it's internally we're thinking that way or whether actually speaking and acting. Yes? In the name of, you know, protecting Siddhanta and all of these things. But the Lord sees our heart. Prabhupada would call people rascals sometimes. But he did it with love. Vrindavan Das Thakur says, anyone who blasphemes Nityananda Prabhu, I kick his face with my foot. Hare Krishna. That's love. He's not doing it because he hates them. He'll kick them because then the Lord will give special mercy upon them. Knowing that if I kick this person, the Lord will give special mercy upon that person. It's only to deliver that person. So Srila Prabhupada, when he would speak harshly, it was out of love. Even for the people he spoke harshly. There was no malice in his heart. There was no envy in his heart. It was genuinely to protect others and to uplift the souls. But our tendency is we have envy or even hatred in our heart, and then we try to imitate Prabhupada, and we use Prabhupada's name on it. If Prabhupada was calling people rascals for this, so I will also. But do we have an actual, genuine, humble service attitude as we're doing it? Or are we just taking something divine and using something divine for something that's not at all divine? Our motivation. So this is a very serious subject matter. How to be loving and how to be forgiving. Even to those who hate you, even to those who are apparent your enemies. The Mayavadi sannyasis were blaspheming Chaitanya Mahaprabhu miserably. But he went to Varanasi just to give them all love for Krishna. So devotees hate Mayavadi philosophy. But we don't hate Mayavadis. We don't hate the person. They're spirit souls. They're just an illusion. We stay away from them. We won't listen to their philosophy. But ultimately, we have malice for the thing, but not for the person. And it's not exactly malice. We're trying to protect and defend from a disease. Love is a very deep subject. We have to want it. We have to long for it. We have to work for it. That's what our sadhana is for. That's what our seva, all of our service is for. To show Krishna that we're serious, we want that love. And when Krishna really sees that we really are serious and we pass a lot of difficult tests, and also so many other wonderful, wonderful, blissful, beautiful things Krishna gives us as well, along with the tests. But if we persevere sincerely, then Krishna gives us that love, that prema. And he liberates us from all Krishna makes us suffer for the purpose of freeing us from all suffering. That's the purpose of suffering, to free us from all suffering. That's for a Vaishnava. Krishna sends opposition to free us from bondage. That is the gratitude that Srila Prabhupada and Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching us in today's verses. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.